Your Cleveland Cavaliers winners again. It's a big day in Cleveland sports, my friend. You got a 16-1 Cavs team, Ty Jerome, who is a hell of a basketball player, leading the Cavaliers in a victory against one of the worst rosters to ever play the game of basketball, or worst lineups to ever play the game of basketball, apparently, to people. And we have a game tonight.
That was hilarious yesterday. Before the game, I thought
one
it was
guy had
a
never
joke
played for them.
When I saw the scratches for the Pelicans, I mean, I already knew like McCollum and Zion, you know, weren't going to play. And the next thing you know, Ingram was out, and then really everybody they had started in the previous game was out. And then they just put together, they cobbled together a lineup. And I'm like, how does an NBA team even have enough players
cobbled it together
to do
right.
it? And then Owen said they started a guy last night who was not on the team.
Alfred Payton.
That's incredible.
Alfred Payton.
He was a high pick like a decade ago.
I always love it when we talk about the basketball players and you, so-and-so was a so-and-so. Like guys that people wouldn't even think
he
of.
He was like Orlando Magic back in the day.
Poor CJ McCollum.
22 hours ago, Shams reported free agent guard Payton has agreed to a deal with the Pelicans. I don't know if he agreed. I will only do it if you start me in the next 8 hours.
Was it a one-game-only deal?
Might have been.
Because if that's...
He's on a one-day contract.
Because here's... That's actually disappointing. Because imagine all the retired NBA players that I would have rather seen. If I just was willingly... If I volunteered to watch Tyson and Paul... Because the allure was what? Seeing a 60-year-old Mike Tyson that you absolutely loved and has been famous forever. Think of all the NBA guys. Forget NBA guys. Think about the rappers that have wanted to play basketball. That would have been incredible for just one game.
Just in New Orleans itself. I mean,
that are just down there.
Half of the Cash Money millionaires.
Oh, my God.
Almost all of the hot boys.
So I feel bad about
Silk the Shocker. Can he play?
Of course he can.
I got to see if I still have those CDs.
Silk the Shooter.
I was driving home the other day and I went, you know what? And I said, play Big Timers. And I was like, oh, this is a trip down memory lane. That's a fine New Orleans group right there. I said, poor CJ McCollum. He's played 4 games so far this year. He has an adductor injury.
Uh-oh.
Which is always difficult to say. He is making almost $30 million this year. Though, so not necessarily poor CJ McCollum. CJ. Yeah, poor, pitiful CJ McCollum. I remember it's like, we got to get him out of Portland. We got to get him out of Portland. Then he went to New Orleans where, I mean, you just mire in obscurity, basically,
is what it is. There is a, to NBA people, a world-famous photo of him in college. Was he...
Lehigh.
Which one?
Lehigh?
No. In high school. I meant in high school.
He went to Glen Oak.
He went to Glen Oak.
Yeah.
And so did Kostakoufos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the two of them are in a photo together, and McCollum is like 5'3".
Yes.
And Costa is close to 7 feet.
Yeah, 6'10" or something.
It's unbelievable.
It is a very big disparity.
And if you would have said which guy ends up having the decade career in the NBA,
you would think it would be Kostakoufos.
Yeah, you would have gone with him.
I think played in Europe for quite a while too. Yeah, he's 33 years old. CJ McCollum is. So there you go. So Cavaliers won again yesterday. We do have a big game tonight, I guess. I've never seen it. Honestly, it's. It's tough, man. There's a cloud hanging over it, and I know one way to get that cloud out of there, but I don't think anybody is... Well, according to the text you got during the show a couple of days ago, there's no point even talking about it. I don't think I want to start with that, because you had brought up during the podcast on Tuesday, like, yeah, I got a text about the future of the Browns. And I went, great. I don't want to bring it up in the open of a show as we're getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers, but there's just a cloud that's hanging over the team right now. And... I got to tell you, I don't know if I've seen fans as downtrodden as this. I really don't. And I it's gotten to a point where it's like, if they do make a move, like I wasn't talking about moves because I was mad on Monday. I mean, I was upset with how they lost, but you know, you're 2-8. It was, where are you going to go from here? But now we get to this game, and there were plenty of people going, hey, why don't they just make the move now? And we're going, well, you can't do that. We brought John on to kind of explain. It's like, you can't. It's a 4-day week. It's really a 3-day week because you got to get ready for Pittsburgh and a dramatic turnaround. You just can't. You go into every game as a pro sports team thinking you can win. And the Browns do this morning think that they can win. And you can't, as upsetting as it is to fans, you can't just turn around and lop off your legs and just not give yourself a chance to win that game on Thursday. Now, you could, and this is what's getting some people thinking here, yeah, if they wanted to make a change tomorrow, they can make a change tomorrow and probably get your ducks in order for a Monday night game, because you even have an extra day, a Monday night game against Denver on December 2nd. See, that's what's kind of got some people's bull running over here going, well, things don't go well tonight because you do have that extra day even. You have a mini bye, this, that, and the other. I used to love Thursday night football. Winning on Thursday night's the best. I hope they do win tonight, but, man, I'm not getting any zeal. I'm not getting any excitement. I'm not getting any of it. I'm not. I don't like the vibe. I don't like the feeling. I don't like that. I have no inclination to do a pep rally for anybody to try to fake an emotion that isn't there. I hope that they win. I obviously hope that they win. And I will be hopeful that they win tonight at 8:15. But I don't know if they... I know that they're trying to win, but I just don't feel that emotion.
Well, it's definitely the difference between being a young team that's not supposed to win versus being an old team that was supposed to win.
Yes.
That's not good.
That's why I'm saying, like,
because
this is...
who are you playing for? Like, what? It'd be nice to see Nick Chubb turn into Nick Chubb again, especially against a team that injured him, right?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. I'm trying to think of things that would be really cool tonight. You know, Jameis, if he with Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman.
And I like Jameis.
Somehow get into the end zone a bunch tonight, then you're like, well, if we did it against this defense, then maybe some people could start to really buy into the question we've had over the last few weeks about Jameis and whether, you know, you'd be okay with him being the starting quarterback next year. But outside of that, I really don't know. It'd be nice to have, you know, Miles to have a dominant performance. You know, he's been quiet of late, so that would be nice to have that.
Well, It got turned up to 11 yesterday all day on social media with Steelers fans. It was the pony stuff that happened yesterday, and then he did the fake quote and said that I said that TJ Watt's a loser, which I said, no, a powder is a loser. And he said, well, you're calling TJ Watt a loser, and I basically said, you know, whatever, and that turned into a...
Well, and it sucks because we're...
Online harassment for 24 hours.
And we're fighting a losing battle. All the trash talk that we like to talk against Pittsburgh, we'll look at their record and look at our record. Yeah. Like, the only thing we can do is go back to 2020, which was 4 years ago. That doesn't make me feel any better. You know, that's the hard part
about it.
It makes
me feel a little better, but really in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't. I mean, I feel... Because it's like, all right, this is your last playoff victory. We had a playoff victory more recent than you did. And now it's going to make, when they go to the playoffs, because they're going to the playoffs, unless there is a huge downfall that I don't see, which would be great. When they go to the playoffs now, I'm rooting that much harder for them to lose. But it's all anti-Pittsburgh. It's not pro-Cleveland. Like, last year was fun because it's like, all right, I don't like Pittsburgh, never will, but Cleveland was doing well. I was more interested in rooting for Cleveland. Now I'm just like, well, I hope Pittsburgh loses. Yeah, my own home's a mess. So I'm just sitting there avoiding the issues in my own home while I'm looking over at my neighbors hoping that they fail, which is not what anybody wants to do. So that's been my
almost in my entire life as a Browns fan has been just rooting against Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
And I think you feel the same way. You feel the same way I do. And I think a lot of fans feel the same way. It's like, man, things were going so well last year. Like, they love this team. It was such a likable group. They thought it was so great. And this thing just went to hell. And now you're 2-8 and you got Pittsburgh coming to town. And it reminds me of like when the station first started. It's like, all right, here comes Pittsburgh and we'll see where it goes.
You don't think,
man,
you don't think Stefanski is giving a fiery, Steelers week speech this week? You don't think he has shaken them, gotten them amped up for tonight to run out in front of the faithful?
Whatever it takes.
You think he reemerges that guy?
I would hope so. Do you think that they're playing for jobs tonight?
I think coordinators could get fired after this game.
Well, then you go in there. If you really are, if they were going, Ken, we're going to close down the station if they don't win today, I would go in there and I don't know how I'd do it without cussing, but I'd be in everybody's face man to man. Because if they're not going to challenge themselves, I'm going to challenge them myself.
Well, it's just so tough.
Like, somebody's got to challenge them.
It's so tough after what happened in that fourth quarter last week. That was such a killer.
Yeah. And guys, because
it made no sense. The game was tight. I mean, you were in a tie game. You had a chance to win. I know nobody would have really cared if you beat the Saints, but it's just nice to get a victory when everybody is, you know, throwing the mud at your football team.
Because now I think a lot of people, they're like, I'm getting pushback here, and this is because we're trying to get the dust is still way up in the air. So I'm getting pushback going, well, if you get the number one overall pick, like before, like it would be like, hey, well, at least we could get the number one overall pick. Now, if you get the number one overall pick, I'm saying, hey, you got to take Travis Hunter. He's the best overall football player, and you guys keep telling me you don't like this draft class. Well, wait a minute. Do we want this guy who's not a quarterback? We're not, like, now it's a big back and forth. And I'm thinking, man, nothing's perfect now to people. So if you could just win a couple, it'd be great. But after the New Orleans game, I'm going, where's your win? Denver's playing better. Feather in the cap to your guy, Sean Payton. They're playing better. And then down the line, you want to play the schedule game. Maybe Miami, but probably not. Tua's back. They're playing better. We'll see if he's still there December 29th. But I don't see it in that sense, Tone. So now you have this problem where I don't know where fans need to go. And I think they're just thinking, you know, damn it. I want them to win, but I don't think a lot of people think they have a shot. And I think a lot of fans are downtrodden thinking they don't have a shot. And they're going to tune in tonight because it's the Browns. But that's basically what the only reason they're going to do it. Because it's going to be nighttime out and you can't go out and rake leaves because the weather's going to be absolutely terrible. Oh, that's another thing to it. The weather's going to be absolutely terrible. So any way you slice it, it ain't that good. And if they go out there and they get hammered tonight, well then, all bets are off tomorrow morning. Like, I've calmed down over the last 72 hours. I'm like, man, they're probably more than likely, like 80% sure they're going to go and finish the season with this group. If they go and they get boat raced tonight and you got that whole stadium of fans waving their yellow towels and doing all that crap, I know I'm going to be mad in the morning and I'm going to be saying some things that might be regrettable because I'm not going to be in the right headspace because I'm going to be angry, but it's going to be pure emotion. And I got to tell you, if you're the owner of the football team and you're just I know it's all green. Everything's green. Money spent is money spent. But, man, to have all that happen to you and have to watch it again when you have that much being paid. What is how expensive is the offense? I lose count.
Oh, it's
191 million,
well,
they said?
I was going to say well over 150 million.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So you have a triple-digit million-dollar offense. And if they don't win, that's probably going to be because that offense doesn't perform up to snuff against that football team. So then you have that go down. And you're saying coordinators, if you fire certain coordinators, I'm going to go, why did you fire the ones to begin with? Like, if you let go of Ken Dorsey after this game, Tone, why'd you let go of Alex Van Pelt to begin with? Then my mind starts racing. My mind starts spinning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's natural. That I think fans will be talking about more than firing coordinators tomorrow.
Of course they will.
That's the case.
But you said that there's a possibility you could let go of coordinators tomorrow after this loss if they were to lose tonight. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully they win. But if they were to, then I'm thinking, man, now you the whole conversation about culture. You can't tell me they're stable now because you fired the people you brought in. The stability conversation to me is done. Now, you're a good arguer. You can argue anything, but I will argue that tooth and nail. If you are firing guys you just hired before the season, I ain't going to listen to it. I'm going to be a very unhappy camper tomorrow if they lose this game and they lose it convincingly.
I got to be honest. I'm very impressed that you are this passionate about tonight's game because what I am seeing online, people are not right now. People are not passionate about tonight's game, which means they don't really care about the outcome either way. Jay Casey on X, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. To Ken's point, this is the first time I felt complete indifference toward the Browns in my 50 years as a fan. Taylor Tolliver, I'm watching Pistons Hornets instead of the Browns game tonight. Like, you're getting very fired up, which is good. That shows that there is still passion about this team. I am not sensing that in a lot of places.
But remember what I'm fired up about. I'm more fired up that we're in this position.
But we've been fired up about that all year.
Well, you're still going to be fired up then tomorrow.
But I'm not fired up that, like, you and I like to, you know, we like to say, what was the mantra you said before the season the one day? when you did the preseason thing? What was the thing that people kept saying? What the hell was it? It's not the same anymore. What the hell was it that you kept
that
saying?
That was then, this that is now?
That was then, this is now, yes. I want to get excited about the game. I'm just mad that we're in this position. Mm-hmm. In the words of the late, great Macho Man Randy Savage, justifiably in a position I'd rather not be in. And that's where we're at. That's why I'm mad. That's my passion. My passion isn't going out there and winning one for the Gipper or giving a Friday Night Lights speech. That's not it. My passion is anger and frustration that, one, a game that I love, a team that I love, is going out there and not feeling that passion. I don't feel it from them. The fan base doesn't feel from them. We love the fans. I can't even get it from them. And two, I can't give them an argument to do it. So I'm stuck, and I'm angry over it. That's why. It's Thursday night. It's the Steelers, and I could sit here for 4 hours and try to do a pep rally, and I think you guys would think that this is the fakest thing I've ever said in my life. And if I do anything, I may be wrong a bunch. I'll never do fake. As long as I live.
Owen was nodding. I think Owen was in agreement.
Because it would be fake, and you know it would be fake.
Let's do one fake segment, though, today.
No.
Okay. That wasn't it?
No. No, I'm not. I didn't give them a pep speech saying that they had a chance. I didn't do that.
How's the Muni lot right now? We filled up.
I'd love to hear the pep speech. That is, you shouldn't even be in this position right now, guys. That's it.
No, they should be in this position. It's justifiably.
I feel like we've been doing that all year.
Yeah,
I think we've done those
the
shows.
The Muni lot looks like a Kmart parking lot right now.
Hey, they've been repurposing those.
Yeah, they have. It's true.
They might repurpose the Muni lot.
A lot of them are becoming churches now. Yep, maybe they have to do that. But you know what? We'll talk about that at another time.